This chazar is a chenesh b'chaz neshulag b'mishvim sechti v'mas daf zamach vav. Zok the Mishnah, if a widow marries a kohen gadol or a divorcee, a chalusa marries a regular kohen, the nichsei melug slaves. It means that the husband may use the assets, but they continue to really be owned by the wife that she brings into the marriage, may not eat truma. But the tzoyin barzel slaves, meaning this is one, the husband simply returns the value that the asset had at the time of the marriage to the wife at the time of termination of the marriage. So these slaves may eat truma. Melug slaves mean that if the slave dies, she bears the loss, and if they appreciate, she enjoys the appreciation. Although the husband is obligated to feed the slaves, they may not eat truma. So in Basel, slaves mean that if the slaves die, he bears the loss, and if they appreciate, he enjoys the appreciation. Since he's obligated to feed them, they may eat truma. If Yisraelis marries a kohen in a permitted circumstance and brings slaves into the marriage, whether the slaves are malug or tzayim Basel slaves, they may eat truma. On the other hand, if the daughter of a kohen marries a Yisrael and brings slaves into marriage, whether the slaves are malug or tzayim Basel, they may not eat truma. In the first case in the Mishnah, why can't the Maluk slaves eat Truma? Bryce says that when something acquired by a Kohen has itself made an acquisition, like for example, his wife bought a slave, that's sort of, quote, a second generation acquisition, may also eat Truma. If so, why can't the Maluk slave in the first case in the Mishnah eat Truma? And for the Gemara, only someone who themselves may eat Truma may cause another to eat Truma. However, this widow may not eat Truma. She's a Chalola. She's married to a Kohen Gadol. And she, therefore, may also not cause her slaves to eat Truma. An Arul or a Tamei Kohen may not eat Truma, yet they may cause others to eat Truma. The Maluk says, a Kohen is classified as being allowed to eat truma. He's only temporarily not allowed to eat truma until he fixes his disqualification. In fact, our mamzer may not eat truma, and yet we find that a child who is a mamzer could permit his grandmother, who had become widowed from a kohen, to continue eating truma. And for the Gemara, it's true that even one who cannot eat truma may at times allow someone else to eat truma. The Gemara previously meant to say that any acquisition of a kohen who cannot eat truma cannot permit another to eat truma. But in Hanami, someone can cause someone to eat truma if his whole allowance is not based on being an acquisition. Rava said, the rice is the slaves of the widow may eat truma. However, there are abundant were goods that they can't eat, so that the widow will say to herself, I'm not allowed to eat truma, my slaves are not allowed to eat truma. It's like, I'm not a wife at all, I'm simply a zayna. These thoughts will lead her to get divorced, which is what the abundant want to happen. Rava said, the reason we're goods and we don't allow them to eat is because we're concerned that she will continue to allow her slaves to eat truma even after the husband dies, at which time will truly be also, because at that point she's a chalala, and going back to her father's house, she can't even eat truma herself, even if she's a bas kohen. Based on this reason, furthermore, even the Israelis who married a kohen when permitted should not be allowed to give her maluk slaves truma out of the concern that she may continue to give it to them after her husband dies. Rashi said, the gzeir was for the case of a kehenes who was a widow and married a kohen gadol. In that case, the kehenes would mistakenly continue to give her maluk slaves truma even after the death of her husband. She thinks that just as they ate before she was married because she wasn't halal yet, and they eat during the marriage, they could also eat after the marriage is over. However, it's not true because through the marriage she has now become a chalola, and therefore we cannot permit her slaves to eat truma. In fact, this gzeir would not apply to when the widow was Yisraelis. She would not think to continue giving them truma since she did not give them truma before the marriage. So you shouldn't be geyser. The Gemara says Rabbanan did not want to differentiate between one case of a widow and another case of a widow. Zokting, if a woman brings tzoyin basel assets into a marriage, and when the marriage ends, she demands the return of the actual assets, whereas he says, no, I don't want to give you the actual assets, I'll give you them equal the money to the equal the value that is recorded in the ksuba. So Yehuda says she's correct in her demand because these assets are from her father's house. We call it the Shvach Beis Aviyah, and therefore it should be returned to her. Rami says, no, he's correct, since our mission says that he bears any loss and appreciation for these Tzarim Basel, and therefore if he's a Kohen, he even allows him to eat Truma, it must be it's as if he fully acquired them at the time of the marriage, and therefore he's allowed to keep them and just has to give the value that recorded in the Ksuber. Safa said, our mission is not a proof, because the mission stops short of saying that the assets belong to the husband, just says that he's Chaya for the Achrayas, and therefore they can eat Truma. In fact, our mission says that an animal may be fed Truma only if it's owned by a Kohen, and not merely when it's the Kohen's responsibility to feed the animal, like where he rented the animal. If so, when the Mishnah says that the Kohen may give Truma to the Tzoyin Basel assets, it must mean that he actually owns the assets, because else he couldn't give it Truma, not just because of responsibility. The Mara says, no, it may be that even merely being fully responsible for an asset would allow a Kohen to give it Truma to eat. The case of renting the animal is different, because he's not fully responsible for the animal, he's not responsible for oinus or for depreciation of the animal, and that's why he can't give the animal Truma. In fact, the Mishnah there continues that if the Kohen has accepted full responsibility when renting, then he would be allowed to feed the animal Truma. The Mara brings a Braisa, like each Shita. And Rav, in the name of Rav Nachman, passed like Rabbi Yehuda. When asked, Rav Nachman explained that although there is also a brayza that supports Rav Ami, it's logical to say like Rabbi Yehuda, since these are assets from the father's house, the shrach beis aviyah, and therefore they should leave the marriage with her. There was a woman, Zaktimar, who bought a cloak for her husband as tzoyin barzel. When the husband died, the children placed the cloak over him for tachrichim. Rav said the cloak has become osur as tachrichim. Now Nanai, the son of Rav Yosef, the son of Rav, asked Rav Kahana, we just said that Rav passed like Rabbi Yehuda, which means the husband doesn't own the tzoyin barzel property. You mean he has to give it back to her when the termination of the marriage? marriage. If so, how could Rava say that the children have the right to make the cloak usher, since only one who owns it could do that? Rav Kahana said, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the same barzel is considered to be in the possession of the husband until it's actually collected by the wife. As such, the children of the husband have the ability to make it usher because they do own it until it's collected by the wife. Rabbi Yehuda said, if a woman bought two kalim of tzayim basil into a marriage worth a combined total of 1,000 zuz, and at the time of the marriage ended, that each keli was worth 1,000 zuz, so she's allowed to take one keli as the tzayim basil value in her ksuba, and then she can then pay another 1,000 zuz and take the other keli, since that's an asset, shvach beis aviyah. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda already said that the woman takes shvach beis aviyah. Mar says, we would have thought that he meant that she can take it only up to the value that's recorded in the ksuba, but this over here he's teaching that she can even take more than the value in the ksuba. As long as she pays for it, she can take all the assets, the physical assets she brought in, she can take them back, and if they appreciate it, she just has to pay the difference from what was recorded in the ksuba.